This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Jeffrey, I wore shorts today. How about that? Yesterday, I wasn't confident enough. Not in my legs. I was totally confident in my legs. Mm-hmm. I wasn't confident enough in the weather. Today, I wore shorts. This is fantastic.
I'm afraid that there are people getting a little cocky out there. I think people are trying to force spring. My wife did the same thing. She was getting ready this morning.
Okay. Isn't this the same thing as the Grizzlies, though? It's not about getting cocky. It's just about enjoying the moment. This is what we were talking about yesterday. Your wife was just enjoying the moment. What'd she do? Did she wear something particularly springy?
Yes. And my wife has a bad habit also of, like, when it starts to get, like, October and
she'll break out the sweaters?
Yeah, and it's just like you're trying to force it.
Okay. But does she jinx? I'm just going to go out on a limb here. What she wears, I don't think has any impact on the future weather.
We don't
forward.
Know. We literally ask a groundhog.
That is true. Anyway, it's fantastic out there. Oh, my God. I don't know how you can't be happy. Plus, the Grizzlies won. Plus, we got 2 hours of radio. And Wednesdays are always fun because, let's see, John Martin is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to John about all manner of things, including... How about the Grizzlies? I mean, the Tigers' run of owl opponents. This will be their third straight owl opponent at FedEx Forum. And they've, well, let's be honest, there's two dead owls, and hopefully there'll be a third. Mm. I mean, I'm pro owl, generally speaking.
I mean, obviously, I have to be.
You, of course, have to be.
Yes. I went to MUS.
MUS owls. So I think owl, one of the coolest birds.
We certainly look good.
Which is a cooler bird? Owl, ostrich. Well, not ostrich, pelican. Owl,
okay,
pelican.
Okay, because I would say owl
ostrich
obviously
is not very cool. I don't think an ostrich is cool, just weird. Ostriches are weird. Yeah, no. Ostrich, owl. Yeah, but pelican, owl. Pelicans can swim and dive. And they have those, pelicans
they
are cool.
Giant
they can
beak.
Scoop up multiple fish.
Yeah.
I'm mesmerized by pelicans.
I think the owl.
And I love owls.
I think you have to give the owl credit more
head
range.
Head turns around. Head
way
like
more 360.
Range. Eats mice.
Correct.
In the neighborhood.
Nocturnal. We don't bother you during the day.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I think both top five birds. The owl and the pelican.
Is a pelican.
What else would you put
five?
There? Is it eagle? The bald eagle? Just because you have to.
Yeah, I mean. Well, also I think bald eagles are awesome.
They are awesome. So you'd put the bald eagle there.
I mean, it's biased, but I think cardinals are pretty. I think cardinals are great birds.
How about cardinals? A great bird. A blue jay's a great bird.
I mean, the feathers and
blue jay's
like
a great
everything.
Bird. How about a one of those big old herons that you see? Yeah, you know, standing there with
kind
his long
majestic
legs.
When they take off and run.
When they take off, they're like a bomber lifting. You know, they're beautiful. I think This may be a summer topic, right? Mm-hmm. Ranking your top five birds. But anyway, owls are endangered species.
I think it's fair to say this, though.
Yeah?
The pelican is criminally underrated.
I think the pelican is so cool.
I think you are. Standing, I think you're onto something there.
You're out there on a post, like one of those. The
I think you bring up a great point.
Pelicans are awesome. Anyway, well, this summer we'll pick up that topic again. The point is that owls, endangered species, at FedEx Forum, and the Rice Owls in town tonight. So we'll talk to John about that. Chris Herring joins us straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman. I always send Sam a list of what we talk about. Here's how I know the list. I just go through the stories he's written that week, and he had a particularly prolific week this week. Yesterday, or maybe it was the day, whatever, within the last little bit, the mayor took questions. You know, he's done this sort of town hall stuff. He's gone around and taken questions and been available, which I applaud. And this time it was on Reddit. Do you go to Reddit? Is Reddit I gather Reddit is wildly popular, and I have never really availed. I don't really understand Reddit.
I mean, it's basically just a message board, but it's, you don't have to have a subscription. But it's like on certain topics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you go to Reddit over what? What are your topics that you look up on Reddit?
Usually what I'm looking at on Reddit is
by the way, what does it mean? I've never understood this.
Mm-hmm.
You do
buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
Buy, which I mean, I believe in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Sell, no thanks. That's not it. Short, I really don't believe in it. Is that what that means?
Bet against it, yeah.
And what does go to Reddit mean in that?
So it was all based upon the AMC, the short squeeze. So Wall Street Bets was the Reddit page that would kind of organize, hey, we found out that the big money firms, they're all short on this. We're going to go long.
So,
but really what it is just throw things into chaos. Like you want to go light the world on fire.
Okay. Anyway, Sam had a busy week. And so we'll talk to Sam Hardiman because the mayor answered a whole bunch of questions about a whole bunch of things, including cracking down on people with fake tags. Including thoughts on Elon Musk. Who, whatever you think of XAI, he's a fairly controversial figure now. And you may love him or you may loathe him. And does that in any way impact how you feel about his presence in Memphis of his business, XAI? Should those things be related? It's like separating an artist from their art, Jeffrey, right? You may find an artist to be, their conduct to be deplorable. Does that influence how we appreciate their art? We may find Elon Musk, you may be a massive Elon Musk fan, or you may be a find his conduct to be deplorable. Does that influence how you feel about XAI? Certainly a topic. He also, by the way, weighed in on Dr. Marie Fagans. And so we'll talk to Sam about all of that stuff going on in the city. John Martin, then Chris Herrington, then Sam Hardiman. I will not ask any of them to rank birds. We may take that up another time. So that was a night, wasn't it, Jeffrey?
I mean, that was about as fun as a Tuesday night in the NBA could be.
It was also totally excruciating.
Oh, sure. But I mean, it was
how many times
fun game.
And it's how many times did you ever believe that they had lost? I certainly did, that's me. You know, that's me.
When they went down four after the turnover, I was like, that might be it. But then Santi came down and quickly hit the three, and I was like, okay. And then when Grayson missed the front end, or whatever, when Grayson missed one of two, forever a Grizzly, that was when I was like, okay. Because if they would have had to get a three, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I think I felt they were...
When Brandon missed the back-to-back
Brandon missed, so they're down, there's 16 seconds left. They're down three in regulation. There's 16 seconds left. They're down three, and ball is going to the line.
Yep.
Right? Like, come on, they're down three, and you just fouled, and there's 16 seconds left. It wasn't impossible to imagine them winning that way, of course, but it was felt... I don't know what the win likelihood would have said on ESPN, but it could not have been particularly high at that moment. And he goes one of two, and then Ja hits the three.
So I have the win probability for you at that moment.
Yeah, at that moment.
16 seconds left.
Grizz down three, and they're fouling.
88.7%.
For
Phoenix, obviously.
Did it ever get higher than 88.7%? Can you see on your, was that the highest it was? So then Ja hits the crazy-ass three after missing every three until then. That's with 9.2 seconds left.
That was the highest of the game.
That's when I felt the most despair.
Checks out.
So then, and then they literally bring Grayson Allen in to shoot, to be fouled and shoot free throws, and he misses one of two. Forever a Grizz. And then Ja hits the ridiculous shot with 1.2 seconds left. Then Durant misses. And that, by the way, just gets us to overtime. It was insanity. Big picture. This felt very much like the Orlando game, didn't it? I mean, it was more thrilling than the Orlando game.
It was a better watch.
It was a much better watch because, if you all were paying attention, 299 points scored. That is the most in the NBA in any game this season.
Most in a Grizzlies game ever.
So, yes, it was a very different watch, but it was, are they going to lose this? This would suck to lose this game. This is a game that they should win. All hell is going to be breaking loose in that we will have the Sky is Falling Brigade out again in force if they lose this game. Ja not particularly good throughout the course of the game. Ja unbelievably good at the end.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it was
when they needed it most.
Oh, my God. It was fun. You know, let's play some highlights. Let's do that. We have the advantage on 92.9 FM ESPN that we are the flagship radio station of the Memphis Grizzlies. We got Eric Hasseltine's calls, so we will do that. Now, let's start, Jeffrey. Let's start. Here's what I'll bring you up to date. Blah, blah, blah. No one stopped anyone, like, at the beginning.
Defense was optional.
Also, Jaren, unbelievable in the first quarter. And then the Grizzlies decided to hoist a bunch of threes. Ja did. Unclear why, exactly. But anyway, we get you to Grizz trailing 86-81. When this happened?
Wells drives. Lobs for Morant. And a highlight reel alley-oop inside FedEx Forum. Wells with a perfect feed. He saw it coming. And Morant takes the elevator to the 12th floor and drops it down on the 10th right through the bucket.
It felt like his shoulders were even with the
100%. They were on the TV, like they were talking about, like, his eyes were even with the rim. Like, it was, yes.
It was nuts. Grizz just kept having to make shots to hang in there. This one by Luke Kennard.
Clark to the left corner, Kennard. Bull Bull flies by. Kennard, a wide open three is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Great pump fake, and Luke Kennard gets his first triple of the night.
Yeah, and all that happened on the defensive end. Good defense by Santi. And then great patience that time getting the ball to a wide open Luke Kennard.
A lot of heroes last night, Santi among them. It's interesting. So what we're about to hear, Jeffrey, and we've discussed this before, this is about to be the Shatner shot of the game, okay? The Grizz were down 97-94 at this moment of the Shatner shot of the game. And I think we can say, looking back in retrospect, not the Shatner shot of the game. If you now that we have the advantage of hindsight, would you call the Shatner shot of the game Ja's three, Ja's bucket to tie, Ja's pass to Wells for the dunk? What is, in fact, Brandon's tip-in? There's a lot of options. What would you call, with the benefit of hindsight, the Shatner shot of the game?
I would say the shot to send it to overtime, because in the end, a lot of this,
and it's done.
Correct. The Brandon Clark one was massive, though.
Here is the Shatner shot of the game to tie it up at 97, but there was a lot yet to come.
Kennard, who's hit two straight threes, drives the baseline right side through the paint, kicks it out top. Aldama, three for the tie, banks it in. That is your shot nurse shot of the game. The shot nurse, the protection you need with a personal touch. Santi Aldama banks it in, and we are tied at 97. Ring it up and put three more on the board.
All right, let's roll through the next five, Jeffrey, just to give people a flavor until we get to the thrilling conclusion.
Intercepted by Bane. Bane, a baseball pass ahead to Aldama. To the rim. A right-handed hammer. Mike Budenholzer has seen enough. Grizzlies take the lead, 99-97. It is a 13-1 Grizzly run. Jackson from the top drives it. Richards gets by him and jams with a left hand. The Block Panther says, no threes tonight, sir. I'm taking it right to the rack, and throws it down with a left-handed hammer.
Beautiful job by Jaren Jackson, not settling for the three. Being aggressive, putting pressure on the defense.
Up ahead for Kennard for the trailer. Wells, left wing three for the tie. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Don't you go anywhere, folks. This one's getting exciting. Well, it already is exciting. 112-112. We have got an old-fashioned scoring match right now. Grizzlies look to push. Here comes Bane into the front court. Bane all the way down the lane, lays it up and in. The Bane train taking it down the tracks with a right hand finger roll.
Nobody picked up the basketball. Bane did exactly what he should have done. Go right to the basket.
Bane will launch a three around a screen, ring it up. Put three on the board, his third of the night. 23 for Desmond Bane, and now it's a two-point game once again. 124-122.
All right, so let's get to the final moments of regulation. Bradley Beal hits two free throws to go up 135-132. That's with 33.4 seconds left. Looked a little dicey at that point, Jeffrey, but I wasn't in full panic, okay? But then you had the Brandon Clark misses.
Yep. That was when it really set in, I feel like.
And then you had the fouling of Ball Ball, and then you had him missing one of two, and so they're down at this point 136-132, and Ja, who had missed every single three-pointer up until that moment, hits a three. We don't have that amongst our highlights, but that was ridiculous. A lot of the threes he missed were wide-open threes. This one, going to his left, absolutely critical.
Had to have it.
Had to have it. Drops it in. So then Grayson Allen is inserted the game because he's a dead-eye free throw shooter, and he misses one of two. So it's now 137-135 and call 12.
Morant gets it, working on Bradley Beal, the floater to tie, and he gets it. Absorbed the contact and ties it up. Suns will take a timeout to try to win it. Morant turned the corner, got bumped, no call, made it anyway, and we are knotted up with 1.4 on the clock.
Just an absolutely thrilling game. A Donnybrook, I'd say, Jeffrey. Was it a Donnybrook? And officially, I think it was a Donnybrook.
I'll take your word for it.
Let's go to OT, and I don't know what a Donnybrook is, actually.
Neither do I.
No idea. Maybe we'll look that up during the break when we're done ranking birds. This gets us to OT, and you know who was great in OT? Jalen Wells. Well, here's Ja, and then Jalen Wells.
He tied the game, working one-on-one on Beal, doing it again. Into the lane he comes, loses him with a nice running right-handed floater. A beautiful crossover dribble that left Bradley Beal standing still. Wells, catch and shoot, right corner, three to answer. Oh, the rookie with a big-time shot. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jalen Wells puts the Grizzlies back in front.
Why you want him in the basketball game? He's an offensive threat.
He is not always in the basketball game to close games, but no. He was last night. It was big. The dude is unbelievably cool. Like, he is unbelievably cool. A second-round rookie doing that. But the peril was not over. With 117 up, with 117 left, Durant hits a shot, and they go up by four. The Suns are up by four with 117 left in OT. And so I don't know what the win probability was there, but again, things looking dicey. And then Santi hits what was not the shot, no shot of the game. Massive three.
Cross court feed Aldama. Wide open left wing three. Bring it up. Put three on the board for Santi Aldama.
And that's a big time shot by Santi, but credit Des Bain, Eric. He could have tried to force it and go one on one, but then found an open man.
We do not have the Brandon Clark tipping that put the Grizzlies up, which was, again, preposterous. Couldn't see the rim, like a preposterous tip-in from Brandon. That's the thing.
I don't even. Does it count as a tip-in if it never gets to the rim?
Yeah, a tip.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what. What exactly?
I was wondering,
it.
Does Ja get an assist on that?
And then, well, I'll tell you what. He gets an assist on this. Here is Ja with a mesmerizing assist.
Morant through two defenders. Morant jumps it underneath Wells.
What a pass!
What a pass! And what a finish! Jalen Wells flushes home a two-handed hammer off a gorgeous feed from Ja Morant. And they are dancing in the aisles at FedEx Forum.
So, oh, happy day. Again, we could have... It is an interesting... This is everything I was talking about yesterday, because in the end, that would have been an excruciating loss, a loss to, let's be honest, a bad Suns team, or certainly a Suns team that doesn't guard, that's been, you know, losing practically every game, is in free fall, and you come back to start the homestand, you got the Knicks next, blew you out last time, and you lose to the Suns, like, I know we overreact to everything, but we would have definitely overreacted. The world would have overreacted had you lost that game. And it felt, for much of the game, like you would lose that game. I don't think it was overall a particularly... It wasn't a performance that gave you great... They're taking care of business. They're locked in. They're doing... You know, it wasn't that. In fact, in some ways, it was... In some ways, I mean, hell, five Suns, went into OT, five Suns scored 20 or more points, right? They shot 57% from three, I believe. First time, by the way, five Suns scored 20 or more points since 1990. It was nuts. And again, you needed missed free throws from Bol Bol. You needed missed free throws from Grayson Allen. You can count on that, right? You needed... Ja to hit a three after missing every three. You needed the tip from Brandon Clark. You needed all of that. And so if you want to be concerned after what you saw, that's fine. If you want to be heartened by what you saw, though, I think that's fine, too. If you just wanted to freaking enjoy it, I think that's the real point, right? Like, it was a blast to feel the things you felt watching that thing unfold. And then to see... You know, to see Ja do what he did. Ja called 12, and he hit the gritty, which for the first time in a long time, I was reading Drew Hill's piece on the event from in the Daily Memphian today, and Desmond Bain on that said, it was about time. I thought he forgot how to dance. There's a sad Jeffrey. Thought I forgot how to dance. So they pull it out. They get the win. It felt like a massive win. Jalen Wells was huge. Honestly, like we talked about all three stars, Ja was so good late, 29 points, 8 assists, and basically took over. Scored 11 straight points at one point. And by the way, he doesn't hit freeze, but you know what he's become? He's become an absolute dead-eye free throw shooter, 14 to 14 from the line. Absolutely.
That's how he got
critical.
His points for the first
how he got his
three quarters.
Jaren, 28, fouled out. He was 11 of 13. They had no answer. Like, there was nothing they could do to stop Jaren. Dez, 25 and 9, 9 assists. Sneaky little fabulous stat here from Dez. One turnover. And then you got help from all over, obviously. Jalen Wells with 19 points, 7 of 12, 5 of 7 from 3. So the Grizz win. They move back into a tie with Denver. How you feeling about the team? How you feeling about that night?
So, to me, it's like, how can you watch? I don't know how you can watch that game and not enjoy it. And
it was a blast.
Like, I guess to
totally.
The only thing I'd push back on,
the
Suns aren't good. How many games have the Suns had where Booker, Durant, and Beal were all very good shooting the basketball?
Well, yes, but that's not. You can ask if there's.
So, like, my thing is,
you
games
can ask
do
if
have
the Grizzlies
context.
Had something to do with that.
I mean, they are. Two of those are all world shooters.
Yes.
And the third is a guy that has been the reason, honestly, why they haven't been good, and he was good last night. And so I think that's just kind of where I net out. Do I think this team is like
the Thunder?
No.
They may not be good, but they certainly have good players who are playing well. The truth of the matter is they've just been humiliated by Toronto.
Yes.
It felt like to me, just honestly, as the game unfolded, like, oh, you are getting a determined Suns effort tonight. Like there was a piece over at ESPN recently where some exec said they look like they hate each other, right? And they did not look like that last night. Like they very clearly were. It was a much more focused performance from the Suns. And so you got a team that is very gifted. Obviously, it's one reason they're so disappointing is because the roster has clear talent on it, and they played well, and the Grizzlies still won.
Yeah, and to me, it's like, you know, at a certain point, that's kind of what we're talking about now. It's like they just kind of have to stack up wins. Do I think that this team is the Thunder? No. But, I mean, what if you get into a situation where you can hold on to the two, somebody else pops the Thunder, you don't have to see them?
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, I mean,
what happens if you see the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals? That would be a massive success. It felt like, I mean, what was interesting was, that game last night felt like a mini series, right? I mean, there were so many swings, and I mean, 22 ties, 22 lead changes. I think those are the right numbers. Again, 299 points, big shot after big shot. Good luck picking the Shotner's shot of the game last night. So it was
23 lead changes.
23 lead changes.
The game was tied 22.
22 ties. 23 lead changes. So it was just it just grabbed you by the throat and didn't let you go until. The Grizzlies emerged triumphant. And by the way, it was on a day that began, and I don't know when this happened relative to your show, that began with Ja's latest denunciation of social media.
Oh, I was unaware. I didn't know he did that again.
No. He came out and he said, I hate social media, and I'm only on it because of endorsements. And,
that's not true.
And, well, that's what he said. I'm just telling you what
rule
he said.
Rule number one.
I hate social media. Do you believe he hates social media?
I think he's addicted to it.
That's not the question.
I think he hates it when it's not going well.
I think a lot of us hate it when it's not going well. I
just don't buy that. There are plenty of people.
There are plenty of athletes though
that have their team that just runs their accounts. And then when you sit there and you talk to them like, hey man, I saw you said this on media. And like, I don't even have the password.
Right. No. He could do that. He actually said in the pieces, I read multiple pieces about it yesterday, that there's all kinds of accounts that we can use. You know, there's team accounts and everything else accounts that he can use. Anyway, I think like a lot of us, he hates it at times, and or like a lot of us with a lot of things, like. You mentioned addiction. People may have this relationship with alcohol. They know it's not good for them, but they can't quite stay away from it.
Right.
Right. So anyway, and I do think there is a general recognition that social media has a lot of drawbacks, right, to it, broadly speaking, across society. And so I don't mind his latest denunciation. Anyway, we had that, and then we had him dancing by the end of the night. So that was a night. They win. Grizzlies prevail. In the meantime, the game that people were paying much less attention to, Jeffrey, was the Lakers. No, of course it was the headliner of the night. The Lakers and Luka.
Certainly wasn't as good of a watch.
It was not as good of a watch. The Lakers and Luka, they only scored, Jeffrey. How pathetic is this? Grizzlies scored 151 points. The Lakers scored 107. That's sad. That's sad. 107 to 99 in the Luka revenge game, 19-15-11. The Lakers are, and this includes pre-trade games as well, they are 15-4 their last 19, Jeffrey.
Yeah, they've been playing good basketball.
And it also feels like one of the interesting things that happens is because of Wemby's injury you know, we talked about how there was going to be some team that was going to be deeply unhappy. Call up the standings, right? Let's just see. There's some team that's going to be deeply unhappy in the West. But it feels like right now, because of Wemby's injury and the Suns' free fall, it feels like the top 10 are basically locked in. Like, Dallas doesn't help that AD is gone, right? But, like, Kyrie was great last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. Like, isn't this cooked? Like, we don't know who's going to finish where. We don't know who's going to get out of the play-in necessarily. But doesn't it feel like we got the 10? And they include Sacramento and they include Dallas?
I'm still not.
What's the cushion?
So right now, the Kings at 10 have a 2.5 game cushion over the Suns. I don't think it's likely, because I think the Suns are just not going to force it to get into the play-in. But I don't think that lead is insurmountable.
That's certainly true. It is not insurmountable.
And let me see how many they have left against them.
Anyway. All right. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to John Martin in just a little bit. Tigers have the Owls tonight. We'll talk to him about that and other matters. Before then, I will tell you, I wore shorts today. They're not necessarily. I could use a little spiffing up, Jeffrey. These shorts I did get at O'Call, and right now this would be a great time. If it feels like spring, do not tarry. Get into O'Call and spruce up your own wardrobe. You walk in right now. It's been feeling ever since the semi-annual sale ended. They're absolutely stocked with some spring and summer merchandise. You got people. They're heading off on vacation, spring break, all of that stuff is coming. And so whether you're loading up for that or you're just loading up for spring or summer, this would be a perfect time to walk in to O'Call, see the folks who've been helping you all year long, and freshen up for spring and summer, because it's on the way. Whether you're you know, thinking about backyard barbecues or the Masters or whatever your spring will hold, this would be the moment to get in and see our friends at O'Call. I know I need to. It's Jeff Calkins Show. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I mentioned this yesterday. I just found out that it's the Frame Corner's 50th birthday. That's just incredible, honestly. 50 years of you could frame that, honestly. Like, they should frame their own stuff around their own anniversary, because 50 years of taking sports memorabilia, wedding photos, beautiful pieces of art, and framing them gorgeously to keep them forever as keepsakes. That's something. And the fact that they've lasted 50 years tells you all you need to know about that place. They're great at what they do. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Joined now by John Martin. Yeah, that's who it is. John Martin, Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. Now, I want to talk to John about the Grizzlies and the Tigers in a minute, but John and I were talking yesterday, and this is apropos of Ja Morant. Like, you wonder, like, what's going on with Ja? Like, he's not himself. Apart from last night's heroics, we have wondered that. And here's the truth, is that real life can spill into your work life. It just can. And so a conversation that we were having, John, I hope you don't mind bringing this up yesterday, is you've just been feeling, because of, honestly, sadnesses in your life, you've been feeling the same way.
Yeah. Can you hear me, by the way?
They can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. You know, it's been a tough week for me, and you know, I probably should have taken a day just to, you know what I'm saying? Just to, you know, try to process you know, some of the, you know, I for those that don't know, I haven't talked about it on the air, but I lost my uncle, my last surviving uncle, last week. He had a stroke and passed, and we had his service last Friday. And then basically the same day, I found out that a good friend of mine that used to work here at 92.9, Zach Shivy, also passed away at the age of 39. And like, I'm not trying to act like I'm some exceptional person because, you know, I lost people. I mean, that happens, you know, that's the cruelty of the world. You know, you lose people that you love and that you care about. But kind of just for it to happen kind of in succession the way it did. I don't really think, because I just kind of kept pushing. Like, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I went to the service after the show on Friday for my uncle. And like, there was, you know, every time you go to a funeral, you know, there's like, you know, this video that plays of the life, you know, of the person who passed. And there was a picture, you know, with my uncle and my mom and a bunch of my aunts and uncles and my grandfather. And so many people in that picture are no longer here. Basically, only two people of the eight or nine people in the picture are still here. And it just kind of, you know.
It's a ridiculous thing about life, honestly. And I say this, and I'll talk because you obviously can't at this moment. But it's something that, like, Claire has, both of her parents have passed. They were older, but both of her parents have passed, and her first husband passed, and her brother has passed, and it's the same experience. And it's the reality of life. We look at old photos. Once you get to certainly my age, or even you, John, you're a little young to be experiencing this, and you look at old photos, and a lot of the people are gone. It's just and you remember them with joy, and then you also remember them with sadness, because it's an inevitable part of this, and it's hard. And then, but this is what I was talking about. And then you just sort of, you got to come in and play basketball, or you got to come in and sell insurance, or you got to come in and talk on the radio. And that's the dynamic. Have you felt like, John, like it's been, you haven't been all here in a sense?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've been here. I feel like I'm just kind of numb. I feel like am I supposed to be, you know, grieving in a different way? Am I supposed to just work through it? Am I supposed to, you know, I mean, I've lost, you know, a lot of people. I've lost friends before. I lost a friend to heroin overdose, in 2016. You know, so I'm not a stranger, you know, to sudden loss, you know. I just wonder, you know, like, do I need to, you know, process it? And I know, like, I hope that people understand, like, all I can do is just, you know, be myself. You know, I'm an emotional person. I feel emotions, you know. All right, we can move on.
Well, I'm sorry you're going through it, man. I am sorry you're going through it. And I think it's probably a good thing you feel emotions. Now, it is true. You were the only person who cried about my wedding. And that was flattering. So you do feel, you do a way of feeling emotions deeply. But I think grieving for your friend and for your uncle seems like the most natural thing in the world. So, I am sorry you're going through it. Zach was, by the way, he was here for how long? Zach was here for like a year. Zach was here for a year, 2 years. Like, how Zach wasn't here.
Yeah. He wasn't here long.
Just a great guy, though. Just a great guy. You know, he'd duck his head in, he'd whatever, and he was one of those people who would just uplift you to see you. And then you don't know what Jack is going through either, the truth of the matter is, right? Like, or maybe you do, but he's doing the same thing. He was selling commercials. That's what he did with us. He sold spots. And he was obviously going through some stuff as well. It is – all these things is the fundamental – you know, it's the stuff of life. I wrote a column today in the Daily Memphian, which, I don't know, like, there's some columns that I write that touch me more than others. And this was certainly one, because it has sort of everything in it. It's got, you know, birth and death. And the story very quickly is there was a young woman named Kelly Collins who, back in 1991, she was 16. She was a student at Germantown. She wasn't feeling great, and her dad remembers being called into his wife and daughter called him into the bedroom one day and said, "We got to talk." And it turned out she was pregnant at age 16. And so she was trying to decide, well, what do I do? And she made the decision to give birth to this baby and then to give it up for adoption. And it was a private adoption. She, you know, people, she got dear birth mom letters and whatever. And she picked a family. Family was totally supportive. Family was like, we'll support you in whatever you decide. If you want to, if we want to raise this baby, we will change our lives so we can raise this baby. But she decided she wanted to give it up for adoption. And then 3 months after that, she was killed in a car wreck on Farm Road. Someone else was driving and they hit a pole. And she was killed in a car wreck on Farm Road. So here was this family that had just lost their daughter. And then the one thing that her daughter had given to the world as a legacy, this baby turns out to be a baby boy, was gone. And it was a closed adoption. So they had no, they didn't have their daughter. And this baby, they didn't know if they would ever see this baby again. And they talked about it. Like Kelly's sister was 12 at the time. And she remembers like, being driven when she was going around Memphis, she'd see kids in playgrounds and she'd wonder, could that be the boy? Is that the boy? The dad heard that the family that adopted the kid was a big UT fan, big fan family. And so he'd run into UT fans and he'd think about asking, do you know about a baby? And he didn't. And all these years pass, The kid, it turns out, was adopted to McMinnville, Tennessee, which is on the other side of the state. To a guy actually played Tennessee for played for the Vols, the Duvall family. They raised him up. This kid was musical, and he became a great organist, an incredible organist, sacred music. And but he was in McMinnville, Tennessee, and then he was at Baylor, and he knew he was adopted, but didn't really know more. When he was 21, his parents told him, listen, you were adopted, and here was the story, and your mom died. And that was a lot for him to sit with. But he didn't try to reach out to them or whatever. He was then working at a church in Richmond, Virginia, and he applied for different jobs all over the place. But lo and behold, the one job he got that he took was in Memphis at Idlewild Presbyterian Church. And it wasn't why he didn't pick Memphis because for any reason other than this is the job I'd like, you know, whatever. And then he came back here. And after he'd been here 6 months, he said, you know what? It's time for me to reach out to my birth family, to my aunt, Kelly's sister, who was 12 at the time. And Kelly's dad was still alive. Kelly's mom had sadly passed. And what's happened since is just the sweetest story ever. It is just the sweetest story ever. And yet that story, and partly I'm filibustering, John, to give you time to recover a little bit, but also because this is another story that I think includes all this stuff. It's all of it. Like it's the stress of a unexpected pregnancy when you're 16. It's an incredibly stressful decision to give up your baby. It's a tragic death. It's families pouring love into, you know, people. And then it's also in the end, the sweetest story you can imagine with all kinds of people who are rising up and doing their best and opening their hearts and again, you can read this piece over the Daily Memphian, but I don't know. Like, and so then you look at John Morant and you think, okay, maybe stuff's going on in his life. The same way stuff's going on in your life, John. Same way stuff over the years has been going on in my life. It's just the there's nothing to say about it.
Absolutely,
other than it's the nature of it. I don't mean diminishing your pain. I'm just saying what you are grappling with resonates for people because it's universal.
It is universal, you know, absolutely, and. I think, you know, this week has taught, if it has taught me anything, you know, I mean, we all, you know, are going through our daily lives, you know, like we're on the interstate, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do that. We don't really like have time to, you know, stop and smell the roses, you know, for anybody else. Like we're just trying to like check a box and get to the next thing. You know, that's just the nature of the world we live in. And you don't really like sit around thinking about like, man, you know, maybe, you know, this one day this stops, you know, but it does. And it does stop and you don't know when it's going to stop. And, you know, it's never as far as it feels.
Right. And there will be joy again, but there will be sadness again too, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, you know, I mean, that's the beauty, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here, you know, in the dark and I'm just miserable all the time. It's just like, I, you know, I just have these, moments, you know, and it helped me. And I appreciate you letting me, like,
hey, I don't even remember Dr. Laura. Someone mentioned Dr. Laura to me the other day. I'm like, I've totally forgotten there was a Dr. Laura. You know, you're probably not familiar with Dr. Laura. Do you remember Dr. Laura?
I know Dr.
Laura Schlesinger. She was a radio person who would, like, listen to people like this. This is going to be my new. I'm going to take this show in a whole new direction. I'm going to open the phone lines, and I'm not going to have people weigh in on whether the sky is falling for the Grizz. We're just going to have people open their hearts, you know, pour out their emotions. Weeping will be encouraged. So anyway, I'm sorry you're going through it, John. I will just to, so we can pay the bills here a little bit. You know, say we run a sports show. What did you think of the Grizzlies win last night?
Oh, I won't say it was fun the entire time because
it was excruciating. Yeah,
because it would have been a quad three home loss for the Grizzlies. But
it would have been a quad three home loss.
Maybe quad four.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure, but I mean, obviously, like we, you know, because we're hypersensitive to, you know, if Ja is happy or sad. By the way, Ja lost his aunt over the summer. You know, like he's been through some personal things as well. So we're on Ja sort of mood watch. He looked like he was just having a blast last night. You know, when he hit the three, and then, you know, he hit the floater to help send it into overtime. You know, the pass to Jalen Wells, like that. Like that, they kind of made me feel like I was back in 2022 a little bit with him, and I enjoyed that transportation, you know, for a moment. So yeah, listen, I thought it was, you know, obviously it was great not to lose that game. giving up 148 is not ideal, but you survive in advance, man. You know, that's why you survive in advance.
Okay,
and
speaking of which, Owls in town tonight, John. Owls in town tonight. What's your level of confidence that what's your level of confidence that the Tigers will get to the conference tournament having not lost another game?
I don't think it's, I mean, what do they have?
Four, including at UAB.
Four left. They have, okay, Rice at UAB. Tulsa? What's the third one? I don't remember. I don't know off the top of my head. And then I know they close with South Florida. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be tough to win at UAB. I mean, if they are in a, you know, a mode where they're going to like be able to channel what they did in Maui, because this is a road game and it's the closest you're going to get to that intensity, then I like Memphis's chances. But man, I feel like this is just going to be UAB's game of the season, man. Like they are going to be so ridiculously hyped up for this one. But Memphis should be too. I'll say that. Like, don't go into this thinking that, you know, we could just lose, because you'll be right back in the 8-9 game for sure if you lose it. You know, so I think that's going to be a great basketball game. I'm looking forward to it. I do think Memphis just takes one more, because, you know, I think that game is going to, that's a 50% coin flip type game, maybe 48%, just based on the historical spots in college basketball. So I do think they lose one more, but still, I mean, if you finish this season with six losses. I had Memphis with six losses in non-conference play. so
yeah.
If you finish the entire year with six losses, I mean, what a great job, and what a poor job by me, you know, trying to predict what this team would be. So I think even if that's the way it goes, Memphis fans should be really happy.
By the way, what's your sense of college basketball this year, broadly speaking? Obviously, there's the SEC, the dominance of the SEC. Good year for college basketball. What's your and then there's a whole bunch of teams: Kansas, UNC, Baylor. You know, there's a bunch that one expected to be in the top 25 that are not even in the top 25.
Yeah, I think it's personally a great year for college basketball. I mean, you definitely do have two to three teams that are kind of separating themselves at the top in Auburn, Duke, and Houston. That's my opinion. Some people don't have Houston there yet. I'm not sure what they're waiting on, but I have Houston there. I mean, it's Kelvin Sampson's best team offensively ever, and you know what you're going to get from them defensively. Obviously, we know about Auburn and Duke, you know, with the freshman phenom and Cooper Flagg, but it's not just him. I mean, they got a bunch of guys that are coming on now. This kid Isaiah Evans has caught absolute fire off the bench for them. They're going to be tough to beat, man. No, I think it's a great year because you have like those two or three teams at the top, and then I would say you have, you know, your Alabamas, you know, your Iowa States, you know, those kinds of teams. But I think it's pretty open after you get past the top two or three. So yeah, plus you have star power, you know, with Cooper Flagg and guys like that. So I think it's been a really fun year. I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to you know, seeing who comes out on top in the tournament.
A couple of court stormings last night. The Oklahoma State Iowa State game and Georgia Florida both last night. And then, by the way, we also had a firing recently. Craig Smith at Utah got canned. Remember, like, we talk about it's been a long time since Memphis has really lived up to its history in basketball. It's not as bad as Utah. Like, Utah's been a total disaster. And now we've got openings at Utah, Indiana, UVA, Miami, Florida State. Those are off the top of my, I think that's right. Utah, Florida State, Miami, UVA, Indiana. John, I'm offering you all those jobs. Which is one and which is two?
You definitely have to go Indiana one, just because of the resources and tradition you have. Now, with that comes, you know, a lot of BS, and that's what, you know, Purdue coach Matt Painter was talking about. Like, the fan base there is just like they overdo it quite a bit. And I mean, I think that's probably true, but, you know, that's kind of the sandbox you play in when you have, you know, the overwhelming resources that you have in Indiana. So, and that's you talk about tradition. That's a job, Jeff, that has not really been able to get it right.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they had Tom Crean for a minute, probably you'd say it didn't quite live up. Then they go Archie Miller, and then they have Mike Woodson. So that's, you know, and that's a great job.
And what's interesting is they tried all sorts of different things there, you know, like the Archie Miller. I think people were totally mystified everyone thought that was going to work, you know?
That's the thing today is, like, you know, you look at the history of the job and what it pays and all that. And it's like, you know, they're not going to be able to get, Brad Stevens is not coming to coach it. You know, they're not going to be able to get the Dusty May just signed a new extension at Michigan. And I mean, he was a ball boy there. So, you know, you're still going to have to get to three or four on your list. Like, are they going to be cool with hiring a Chris Beard at Indiana? It seems like no. So you're getting into like the TJ Otzelberger, you know, the Buzz Williams. So it's kind of, you know, an eye opener, I think, for everybody that, you know, when you're just because your job is open, like, don't assume you're going to be able to get one, two, or three, you know, on your list, even if you're a cush job like Indiana.
John, appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me. Glad I could help out.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Doctor, you're modern day Dr. Yeah. Laura.
Dr. Laura. thanks. That's John Martin every single day from 11 until 2.